This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Everybody, welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. We're going to zig and zag in a couple of different directions right from the get-go. The big news still continues to be, of course, Afghanistan, and here at home, the debate over Confederate monuments and the border wall with an ultimatum, whether or not the government shuts down because the wall isn't funded. And somebody could be tooling around with $700 million plus on the line because they plunked down a few dollars to take a chance at a lottery that they may win. Who knows? But first, we start with what we do know. And what we do know is nothing is 100% set as far as Afghanistan is concerned, except for that the generals are meeting and the Joint Chiefs of Staff discussing. They're getting ready to figure out some of fine points of this new pivot as far as Afghanistan is concerned. There's reaction on the Hill, positive and negative, as to whether or not we should put more blood and bullets into a 16-year effort. There's discussion and debate on whether or not 4,000 troops, more or less, will be added into this effort and how that will reverberate here at home. How does that sit with many of you? You absolutely can dive on the digits, 855-266-5283, 855-266-KATE. When we talk about more of a commitment to Afghanistan, ultimately, what is the goal? And can we really achieve that goal or not? Is it an impossibility? Is it an impossibility? And is it folly to think that we can? Initially, I definitely was saying, why not go and just do everything we can to vaporize ISIS. But in talking to so many people who have been in Afghanistan, who have dealt with figuring out ISIS and measures to thwart what they're trying to do, almost all say you can't do it the traditional way of warfare. It just will not work, whether it's appealing or not appealing or whatever it is, it's just not feasible to think it's a winnable situation. The president is saying that's what he wants to happen, and of course, there is backing there, and then there are people who are in the government who deal with the president and policies who are not on board with this either. So I think we're going to hear more about Afghanistan and plans and strategy and all of that in the weeks to come. It's interesting, because of Afghanistan and the debate over is there a military path to a win in that country, it's kind of pushed, not completely, but it's kind of pushed the debate over monuments to the side just a little bit. And whether or not all Confederate monuments should be removed. So much of that is a decision often of city councils. It's in their jurisdiction. It just depends. And there are already a lot of statues that have been removed, and there's debates over whether others should be removed or not. And in the wake of that, ESPN kicked up its own controversy when just the other day they had an announcer, a play-by-play guy, named Robert Lee, who wasn't going to work Virginia's season opener because of the violence in Charlottesville, because of that decision to remove a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. Instead, he was moved to the Youngstown State's game at Pittsburgh on September 2nd. They said they made the decision because of the tragic events in Charlottesville. As they were unfolding, the coincidence of the name, it just didn't make sense. Plans to remove that statue of Lee led to, as we all know, that protest in Charlottesville just last week that attracted what many believe was the largest group of white nationalists to come together in a decade. And, of course, the rest is sadly history. The violent protests, the car that rammed the people, the woman who died, the 19 others who were injured because of that. While some rallies are still going on, whether they're small or a lot bigger, depending on the city, there are other rallies also happening in support of a former quarterback in the NFL. His name is Colin Kaepernick. And supporters of the former 49er quarterback, who refused to stand for the national anthem to protest police brutality against blacks, were showing up in big numbers with him and his cause at a rally outside the National Football League headquarters that happened on Wednesday, demanding that he be signed by the start of the regular season next month. About 1,000 people, give or take, wearing jerseys with his name, crowded the steps outside of the NFL's Manhattan offices. But Kaepernick, who was with the 49ers, once took them to the Super Bowl, opted out of his contract with the team and then hasn't been signed. Here's the deal. Whether he's being blackballed by some teams or some teams just don't feel they want to add him to the roster, they're set, whatever the reasons are, there's no way that the NFL can force a team to take Kaepernick and put him on their roster. Of course they can't. That can't happen. And that won't happen. It's not possible. It's a private company. There were a lot of people with a lot of opinions, though, that were saying it's just unjust and it's not right. And they're talking about maybe there should be a boycott of the games, and would there be people who would boycott games because of that? And there are players who are in the preseason who are protesting then at the national anthem. We're already seeing that happen. Will we see that in the regular season? I don't know. Perhaps not, but it's interesting that was a pretty big group of people, 1,000, and all wearing jerseys and all chanting and whatnot. So it's definitely a tale of a few different parts of the country and attitudes on a couple of the big things that I just talked about, whether it's Charlottesville, the controversy, a little bit of the controversy over the sports announcer, or the Kaepernick controversy. Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, part two with Doug Davis from Intel on Forbes Books at Bedtime. We duck out, and I'll meet you on the flip side.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend's Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Welcome aboard. Your new science fiction adventure is ready to launch. Discover an amazing journey at GalaxyQuestBooks.com. Start a new sci-fi adventure with the Guardian series, a classic sci-fi mystery that starts 500 years in the future. From author D. Arthur Gussner. Series available from Barnes & Noble or Amazon as paperback or ebooks. GalaxyQuestBooks.com, where the adventure begins.
Here on ATN, the Daily Salute. I've got one. You're going to love this, too. I don't know how people, I guess it's the instincts to survive kick in, but I was reading a story earlier in the day about the this 18-year-old, Austin Bohannon, who was lost in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, and 11 days he was lost, and he said he was very close to eating bugs. He woke up on top of a ridge, looked down, and saw boats floating on a creek. So he did come out of it. He did come out of it. Do we hear Siri in the background? He did come out of it uninjured, I guess. He went into the park with just a little bit of food and water. His stepfather identified him. He somehow, they became separated, and they didn't think he was with anyone else. The whole thing that you would go through, the jumping jacks of how could this happen, who was it, all of that. And he, you know, I guess they were in the park. They were hunting for ginseng that, you know, that medicinal herb that is used in energy drinks and for whatever purposes, but it's illegal to remove plants from the national parks. So they're just kind of ignoring that. And they got separated. He tried to call his mother on his cell phone, but they didn't go through. So he was wandering around in the park, and he just got turned around, which, of course, makes sense. you'd see steep gorges and severe waterfalls and all of that. At one point, he said he told them he heard a search helicopter, and he tried to get the attention of the pilot, but it was too dense where he was, and there was no visibility. And even with the infrared glasses and whatnot that they had, they couldn't see him. So he drank water, that was it. He didn't eat hardly anything. And then eventually he scrambled down where he found himself there, at what I just described about the creek. He was able to wave down a boat. They picked him up, gave him a ride, and bada bing, he made it. 11 days. What would that be like at night when it's dark? To me, that would be the scariest thing. I just cannot even imagine. Anyway, the daily salute is, yay, we have a happy ending. He was okay. He gets out of the park alive, tells what happened, got turned around, found areas where he couldn't see anyone, and that was it. But he survived it and luckily got to a place where he could scramble out. And they didn't have to search anymore because they weren't calling off that search. They were really, really trying hard to come up with him. And he ended up finding his way out himself. Since we're on the park deal, and that is the daily salute, I don't know about you, but if you've ever seen a grizzly bear, are they not huge? I've only seen that kind of a bear in a zoo somewhere. But U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service determined a couple of years ago that there were fewer than 50 grizzlies that roamed in the Cabinet Mountains and in the Northern Rockies, and that they were in danger of extinction. And they were one of them protected under the threat of that, so under the Federal Endangered Species Act. But apparently, they made a mistake when the U.S. wildlife managers made a mistake when they declined to list as an endangered species a small population of the grizzly bears in other remote reaches like in Idaho and Montana. So a federal judge ruled in favor of conservationists, and they're saying this is a huge win because the Montana Conservation Group, and there's people listening to us, Alliance for the Wild Rockies, sued about the extinction label unless the U.S. wildlife managers tighten restrictions on mining and logging and other activities, because that's sort of the safeguards or checks and balances that would come with the endangered status. So finally, out of Missoula, you had a judge that ruled or sided or whatever you want to call it with a conservation group saying that the fish and wildlife people had violated U.S. law in determining that the number of outsized hump-shouldered bears in that ecosystem could reach a targeted recovery goal of 100 without added protection. So now they'll get that because they were declining too rapidly, and they had to do something, they say, to stabilize it. I mean, in the 70s, they were listed as a threat in the lower 48 states because they were nearing extinction. Hard to believe. You think a grizzly, well, I shouldn't say hard to believe, but the fact that you look at these giant animals and think, wow, extinction. And they were very, very close to that, thus the big fight to not have that happen. And while we talk about grizzlies and daily salutes for an 11-day journey lost in a really thick vegetative area, we'd be remiss not to mention this story, because Louise Linton has become kind of the symbol of the Real Housewives of Washington, D.C., I suppose. And what did she do? Thinking innocently. See, I had a boss once that said, You want to tweet? You want to put something on Instagram? Step away, take a breath, and think about what it is that you're going to post. So the wife of the Treasury Secretary posted a photo of herself. If you didn't hear this, I told it on the last show. Getting off of an official government plane, she was wearing a Hermes, Tom Ford, and Valentino. And she wore those labels and included them in the hashtags and put great day trip to Kentucky. So you had a lot of people that immediately jumped all over that and put hashtag deplorable and all kinds of other things, saying that she would have just been best to ignore this anyway and just let it all blow over. And she didn't. So when people wrote to her that, glad we could pay for your getaway, somebody wrote that, she said, did you think it was a personal trip? Adorable. Do you think the U.S. government paid for our honeymoon or our personal travel? And then put LOL, LOL. Have you given more to the economy than me and my husband, either as an individual earner in taxes or in self-sacrifice to your country? Whoa. And then she said, I'm pretty sure we paid more taxes toward our day trip than you did. And then wrote, and this is was for everyone to see, especially it was all over Instagram, you're adorably out of touch. Thanks for the passive-aggressive comment. And then she later added, your life looks cute. Wow. Oh, my, oh, my. And then she made her Instagram account private after that, realizing she would probably just get pummeled by a lot of other people that were reading some of what was being tweeted out there. Ironically, she was born in Scotland to pretty wealthy parents. She was raised in a castle. She went to boarding school. She was sent to the United States to attend colleges, or to attend college at Pepperdine, which of course is an expensive undergrad university. She got a law degree, which wasn't accredited by the American Bar Association. Her husband graduated from Yale. You get the picture here. And guess where he worked? Goldman Sachs. We know that. So you're immediately going to stir the pot when you start tweeting out what you're wearing and you're taking a day trip to Kentucky. Maybe all of us need a writer behind us to write what we're supposed to say. Tell your one side of your brain, here's what you think, here's what you're supposed to say. Avoid the crush of criticism. She did not avoid the crush of criticism. She stepped right into the middle of it. Coming up, Forbes Books at Bedtime. Thanks for hanging with us. We boot it to Forbes.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now.
855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Greg, we had so much to talk about last time when it comes to autonomous cars. I said like I'm a geek for that. That here we are back again with Doug Davis, the Senior Vice President of the Automated Driving Group at Intel, to continue that conversation about autonomous cars. Have you been thinking about it? I know you want one, don't you?
I obsess over autonomous cars. And also just, I'm always, as I'm driving, trying to imagine, and Doug, this is really, I think, a question for you, and I wonder how much time you spent thinking about it. I can see a world where we're all driving autonomous cars. I live in a world where none of us are driving autonomous cars. I'm a little nervous about the world where some of us are in autonomous cars and those darn autonomous cars have to deal with stupid humans. That, to me, seems like a very dangerous phase in this experiment.
Well, and I think it's a great observation, Greg. You know, that's going to be one of the challenges for the technology as we're developing it and we're first getting these cars on the road, because they'll just continue to be millions of cars driven by humans. And we're not very good at it. We're not very good.
Well, I mean, look, a lot of people right now are listening. You know, a million people are listening to us right now. Most of those people are in their cars. And for you listening, I want you to look at what you're doing right now in addition to driving your car. You're eating something. You're drinking something. You're texting something. You're adjusting them. There's a million things you're probably doing instead of driving. And that's how we get to the 30,000 fatalities number, is people are distracted, as Doug said, or human error.
You know, I think one of the key things is that those autonomous vehicles can see everything that's happening around them, right? As we start to get them on the road, you know, of course, we recognize one of the biggest challenges when we first start deploying them or the automakers start deploying them is we've still got, you know, 99% of the cars out there driven by humans. And so what's different about these cars, though, is they'll have cameras all around them. They'll be able to see what's happening. You know, they'll have other sensor technologies, lasers and radar that can see what's going on, as well as the intelligence to know how to deal with certain situations. So the ability for that autonomous car to see that a driver is starting to drift into their lane in most ways will be much, much faster, much more perceptive than even us humans who are trying our best to pay attention.
So even though we're not very good drivers, autonomous cars are going to do a better job of dealing with our unpredictability than we as humans can?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think they'll notice that that truck is approaching the intersection a little too fast and may not be able to stop in time. Or, you know, it'll recognize that bicyclist on the curb that's now starting to, you know, turn onto the street. Because of the technology, you know, it'll be able to see all those things, to pull together all that information and be able to predict what might happen. Now, some people who've taken rides in the autonomous cars, I've ridden in a few of them, will say, well, but they're really conservative. And that's a function of, you know, recognizing, being able to anticipate problems, but also being able to drive in a somewhat natural way along with all the other human drivers. I got to ride in one of the, I'd say, most modern autonomous vehicles in terms of the technology right now. And one of the things I noticed right away is that it was a more confident autonomous vehicle. Hmm. And so the technology, I think, can be adapted to kind of blend in well with all of us human drivers.
And I would imagine that that would, Doug, change laws, and there would have to, obviously, there would be a learning curve, right? So once all the, I'll call it kinks or obstacles, the other parts of autonomous cars are worked out, that's got to be part of it, working with law enforcement, am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think about what's also interesting about these cars, because of all the cameras and sensors on them, there'll be a lot of data, a lot of evidence as to what took place in the case of an accident, right? And you can imagine as we get more and more autonomous vehicles that are equipped with these sensors, when something happens, they can capture that information. So we can see what's going on. We can understand what took place, and we'll be able to learn how to make the cars even better, how to help them deal with situations over time. I kind of will use the analogy that, you know, the first autonomous cars are going to be still in learning mode, right? As they see more and more situations, we can update the models that they use to help them deal with more and more unusual circumstances.
So it's interesting when you talk about that, Doug, it just makes me think, too, this could change even, I think of somebody getting a driver's license the first time and what you had to do to get a driver's license. Wow, that could really reshape even that, the beginnings of our relationships with cars when we're kids and what we can actually do and what we can learn. I think that would be part of it, too.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we sometimes have a conversation about excuse me, you know, that probably two generations from now, there will be kids who never get a driver's license, right? I mean, they may have such flexible mobility through these kinds of autonomous vehicles that they may never have a desire to get a driver's license, that it would be kind of a nuisance to even have to do that. But I also remind people, I still have a car that's 40 years old that I really enjoy driving. And so this isn't, this won't, you know, we won't wake up someday and every car on the road is autonomous. But I do see that we'll change the world around us as these cars start to roll out. Much as, you know, changes happened when we went from horse and buggy to the first, you know, gasoline engine driven cars.
Yeah. We're talking with Doug Davis. He's the Senior Vice President of the Automated Driving Group at Intel. And, Doug, you said a couple of things I want to follow up with you about. One is you mentioned being in what you think is probably the most advanced fully autonomous car. We want to find out if we can know who has that car. We also want to know what that 40-year-old car you're driving is that you enjoy driving on the weekend. And finally, the autonomous car we hear the most about is Tesla with the autopilot feature. Have you driven or been in a Tesla with autopilot, and how close is it to a fully autonomous car?
Yeah, you know, there are different levels of autonomy. There are a couple standards bodies that define those different levels. And a lot of what we see out on the road today, you would consider, you know, kind of that mid-range. The term that's used is a level three autonomy. And I've gotten a chance to ride in several. I probably won't name names, but I can see that the technology is progressing, you know, very quickly. And so, yes, I've gotten a chance to ride in Tesla. I think they're making great strides, and you know, they're willing to move very quickly. I would note that both car manufacturers as well as what are called tier one companies that are out there, you know, are doing some really great work. We've recently talked about some things that we're doing with Delphi, and I think they're doing some very interesting things. That 40-year-old car that I'm driving is actually a 1977 Camaro. It's the same car my wife had in high school, and we still have it, and it's still fun to drive.
You know, that's worth some money. Depending on the condition, there'd be some people that would offer you some money for that, Doug.
Well, they'd have to convince my wife to part with it.
Is it actually her car from high school, or you went and found one that was the same as what she was driving then?
No, it is actually the same car she had in high school.
Wow. Boy, that's incredible. Jeez. When you go to a party, are you the most popular guy there? Do people ask you? There's so many things people could talk to you about, but I have to imagine they pepper you with questions about the whole thing of an autonomous car.
I'll tell you what, you know, autonomous cars are probably one of the hottest topics right now, and it's interesting because you get two different perspectives. You know, on one hand, people are so curious and intrigued by what it takes to do that and when they'll be around, but there's also, you know, a certain amount of trepidation, not sure if they really want to let a computerized car drive them around. But again, I go back to my earlier example that I mentioned before is that, hey, autonomous airplanes flash around all the time. Sure, there are very, very qualified pilots that can take over in unusual circumstances. But, you know, we'll still, I think, for a very long time, you know, be able to take over for an autonomous car if something unusual happens and such a thing is needed. I'm so excited about the flexibility and mobility they'll give for so many people and the fact that they're going to, you know, make cars safer and save a lot of lives.
We're talking with Doug Davis. He's the Senior Vice President of the Automated Driving Group at Intel. And, Doug, we just have a minute or two left, but since we're doing this interview on a radio feature called Forbes Books at Bedtime, we like to ask people, what keeps you up at night? In this job of working for Intel with autonomous cars, what keeps you up at night? And I guess in a way I wonder, what's the benchmark you have to see before you'll let your kids go in an autonomous car without you?
Yeah, I think the thing that keeps me up at night is pulling all the technology together kind of simultaneously. This is a really interesting challenge in terms of really deploying artificial intelligence on a broad scale. And so it means that these cars have to be connected to the network infrastructure. They need to have robust data center capabilities to support them. We've got to make them secure. You know, we've got to be able to deliver content, new services. They're, you know, one hand is an engineer and, you know, a bit of a geek. It's so exciting and it's there's so many interesting challenges, but it's all got to come together kind of simultaneously. And that's something we do very, very well at Intel. I'm confident we'll help our customers be able to deploy that technology and make it all happen. You know, so that's probably, you know, one of the biggest challenges that I see and that I ponder. But again, I think for me, it's an opportunity. As I see the pace of technology, I'm easily within another year or two saying I would be thrilled with having any of my family riding in one of those. In fact, I see some trials on the road today that I would entrust my family to right now. So we're getting very close to those early mobility on demand capabilities already.
Love it. Doug Davis, Senior VP of Automated Driving Group, the Automated Driving Group at Intel. Thank you so much.
You bet. Great talking to you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextracts.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com is better than ever. I'm Pat Matthews here to tell you that BuySellMakeOffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just upped the ante. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and click the Sign Me Up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what your store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from or selling to. Sell unused household items, as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, real estate. The possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees, no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up, too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at BuySellMakeOffer.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
A girl's best friend. You remember that old song, Carol Channing? I think was the first one to do it. But regardless, I know you've heard the song. I don't care if you're 15 or if you're 80. So I like diamonds. I know some of you certainly have been shopping for diamonds, some of you guys that listen to this show. But how about pure grown diamonds? Have you heard about pure grown diamonds? And what does that mean? I think there's a confusion about what it means. And what's interesting is diamond production is going through the roof. They're talking about where it will actually scale up to. So it's perfect to have TJ Walker on with us. He's a spokesperson for Pure Grown Diamonds. And TJ, I guess that's the first question. If I say that to someone, they're like, oh, so that means pure grown, you must grow them in a lab. Am I right? How does that work?
Yes, they're grown in a laboratory. You start with a diamond seed, which is made of pure carbon. Mm. It's put in a greenhouse. It grows for 9 to 12 weeks, and then you cut the diamond, you polish it, you mount it, and it can get on your finger or your ear. It takes about 9 months from concept until you're wearing it. Here's the thing that I didn't even realize until I started working with the company. These are genuine diamonds. These are type 2A diamonds. Only 2% of all diamonds have that classification. So they're incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, you know, and when you, as what you just described, that process, what is the difference between a natural process, because that's going to be an obvious question, versus what you just described with the lab-grown process?
Well, there are a couple of big differences, but think of it this way. If someone gives you a beautiful lily or a beautiful rose, do you know if it was made in a greenhouse or in someone's backyard? Mm-hmm. They're both roses and lilies, and they can both be beautiful. So at some level, a diamond is a diamond. Now, there are some important differences. Number one, these are eco-grown, because the problem with mined diamonds, according to Frost and Sullivan, an international consulting firm, is there's 7 times the damage to the environment in a mined diamond. Think of mines and digging all the dirt, water, and air pollution. The other big issue, frankly, is all the social issues. Lab-grown diamonds are socially sustainable. A mined diamond, don't listen to me, listen to someone like Amnesty International. They've disclosed how so much of mined diamonds goes to fund civil wars, tyrants, child labor. Places like the Philippines, you have 11-year-olds forced to dive 60 feet deep with just a tube in their mouth, and kids die from this.
It's awful. It's awful. And I think a lot of people saw, you know, if you saw the movie, what was it called, Blood Diamonds, that whole story. I mean, I know it's a movie, but it brought out a lot of what you're talking about, where some people weren't realizing what was going on with the mined diamonds.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of people are asking themselves, especially millennials, if you're trying to, you know, put a spotlight on a major event in your life, starting a life, a marriage with someone, for example, why not do that with something that symbolizes love and peacefulness and something good for the environment, instead of something that involved destruction to the environment and destruction to people? The third big difference between mined diamonds and lab-grown diamonds is lab-grown diamonds are typically 30% less expensive, 30 to even 40%. So if you're getting a typical sort of one-carat engagement ring, a mined diamond might be $5,000. A lab-grown diamond is going to be more like $3,000. That's a couple thousand dollars more for a honeymoon or a down payment for a house or a car or any other big expense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's a big difference, because you think of the markup on mined diamonds. So here's another question some would ask, I would think. You know, my brother used to joke that he'd see some women with huge diamonds, and he said, you know, you could cut someone's cheek with that. But how durable are the lab-grown diamonds compared to the mined diamonds?
There is literally no difference, because, again, they're both genuine diamonds. It's 99.95% pure carbon. It's 99.9% devoid of nitrogen. If you take it to a jeweler or a gemologist and they look at it underneath one of those glass things, they cannot tell the difference. Again, think of it as someone brings you beautiful roses or beautiful lilies. Can you tell if it was grown in a greenhouse versus someone's backyard? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. It's interesting, too, because I was sent some statistics on this, and there was a study, as you know, that was done by the PhD Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and they talk about, in this, the production of lab-grown diamonds, and they say it's going to scale up to 20 million carats by 2030. You mentioned millennials. Is that part of the reason why?
Yes. Increasingly these days, millennials really don't want to be associated with something that's wildly destructive to the environment the way mined diamonds are. They don't really want their money going directly or indirectly to support tyrants, dictators, and child labor. So that's one of the huge attractions driving the increase in lab-grown diamonds and the pure-grown diamonds. The other factor, frankly, is just there's an increased world demand. People in China and the rest of the world see the United States, and they see old Elizabeth Taylor movies and new movies, too, and people like diamonds. rings, diamond earrings, etc.
Yeah, with the with the lab grown diamonds, is it still the same thing where I can shop? Okay, it's already been grown, and I'm just shopping what kind of cut I want, what kind of clarity and color, and what you would normally do with diamonds.
Sure, these come in brilliant and emerald cuts, princess cuts. They come in fancy pink, bright yellow, colorless, or white. And the best thing is to just go to a local jeweler you know and respect, and if they don't have pure-grown diamonds, they can get them for you. If you want to make sure before you start driving around town, you can always go to puregrowndiamonds.com and type in your address, and the website will tell you the closest jeweler to where you live that carries lab-grown and pure-grown diamonds.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. Have you ever, I think it'd be cool to see it go from to be in that lab, frankly, and to see it go from when it's being grown to the end product. I mean, that would be neat to watch that process. Have you seen the process?
I haven't, but again, we're talking about, the whole process is about 9 months long.
Yeah.
Process in the greenhouse is 9 to 12 weeks. So
wow.
The process is interesting. As far as looking at any one second, it is a slow process.
Yeah, slow process, but it has to be really cool to see that. All right, we're going to get the show somewhere where we can get near watching the diamonds grow. I think that would be a whole lot of fun. Do you have a favorite cut of diamond? Princess cut, right?
I have purchased princess cut and brilliant cut myself.
I know, it's so complicated. All right, a lot of fun. TJ, thanks so much, TJ Walker.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It. Wow, interesting talking to TJ about it. I know, I'm fascinated by this whole process. You heard me mention to him how I'd love to see the process from the very beginning. I mean, in my head, it's like planting carrots, like planting something in this lab, watching it grow, and then, as he said, the whole greenhouse part. I think the significance here is the key things he said. Younger people want nothing to do with the mined diamonds, and that means a lot of what Amnesty International did, that movie Blood Diamond, the awareness of what was happening really is starting to hit home with some people. And you talk about the demand for diamonds by 2030 to be 221 million carats. That's pretty big, and how much of that is we're talking about that's going to be grown is so interesting. And I think that this will just continue to ratchet up. I mean, I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger by comparison. And again, especially when you talk about the whole mine diamonds thing versus that very cool, very 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 cool thing of lab-grown diamonds that are exactly the same. So there's no difference whatsoever between the two. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
Are you one of the 70% of Americans that want to own your own business, afraid to leave the security of your current job to pursue your dreams? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current job schedule, creating extra income for you and your family by joining his crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.